Environmental insurance for contractors and consultants is not just a safeguard against massive lawsuits linked to cleanup operations at toxic waste sites. Today, virtually any contractor or consultant faces a growing array of environmental risks and liabilities due to increasingly stringent environmental regulations. As a result, more and more contractors and consultants are vulnerable to both new and newly enforced regulations and potentially costly liabilities, all stemming from pollution incidents at job sites.
Given the expense of remedial work, project delays, and lost revenues that could result, there is a growing trend in both public and private projects to require substantial environmental insurance coverage, even on jobs for which it was not required in the past.
Contractors and consultants face increasingly strict environmental laws. A conversation with Barbara Dees and Bill Hazelton on this edition of the ACE Group Podcast. In this edition of the ACE Group Podcast, Barbara Dees and Bill Hazelton will examine the implications of the growing environmental sensitivity that's been reflected in the evolution of environmental laws, the historical evolution of public concerns about the environment, and ensuing regulations over the past five decades. In addition, they'll examine the evolution of insurance laws and insurance liabilities stemming from incidents of toxic waste and the spread of contamination. They'll also discuss how the rigid stance toward environmental regulation has led government at all levels to increasingly require both environmental and non-environmental contractors and consultants to carry pollution liability coverage as a condition of bidding on and winning projects. Finally, they'll discuss the expanded environmental risks and liabilities faced by contractors and environmental consultants resulting from external influences. They'll highlight environmental liability and key coverage concerns and offer some best practices with regard to quality insurance protection. Barbara Dees is president of ACE Westchester Environmental, the U.S.-based wholesale-focused property and casualty operation of the ACE Group. Based in Atlanta, Georgia, Ms. Dees has overall management responsibility for the strategic direction and implementation of underwriting strategy, product development, and producer management responsibility for all environmental liability products and services for the wholesale market. With more than 40 years of diverse insurance industry experience, Ms. Dees joined ACE Westchester in 2004 as Senior Vice President, Environmental. Barbara's a noted speaker and presenter at environmental industry conferences and workshops, and she's published various papers on topics involving environmental insurance. Bill Hazelton is Senior Vice President of ACE Environmental Risk, a unit of ACE USA, the U.S.-based retail operation of the ACE Group. Based in New York City, Mr. Hazelton has national responsibility for the development, underwriting, and delivery of environmental risk solutions for retail brokers and their clients, from small or mid-sized companies to large multinational firms. In this capacity, Bill's managing a national team of environmental underwriting specialists deployed throughout the United States. With more than 20 years of underwriting and claim management experience in the environmental insurance arena, Bill joined ACE USA in 2005. He's a graduate of James Madison University and holds a Bachelor of Science degree in both political science and history and a Master of Arts degree in history from Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. And Bill is also a frequent presenter at environmental industry and legal conferences, and he's published papers on environmental exposures and solutions. Moderating this discussion is Carla Ferrara, Manager of Media Relations for ACE North America.
Barbara and Bill, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Glad to be here.
Barbara, can you talk about the growing trend in both public and private environmental contracting projects that require substantial environmental insurance coverage, even on jobs for which it was not required in the past? And what impact does this have on environmental contractors?
Be glad to. Today, many contractors are looking for work in a weak economy, particularly in the area of infrastructure projects. That leads them to venture into areas outside their proven expertise, areas where they may not be aware of potential liabilities.
Can you discuss some of these liabilities?
Work by a contractor that creates pollution or exacerbates an existing condition may create liabilities stemming from injured parties and necessitate an extensive remediation effort. For a small to mid-sized contractor or consultant, these liabilities can be severe enough to jeopardize the existence of the company itself.
What impact does this have on insurance coverages?
As regulations have evolved, so have the insurance coverages available for contractors' pollution liability. These coverages can provide vital insurance protection against liability from pollution incidents for which contractors, subcontractors, and consultants may share legal responsibility.
Bill, can you take us through the changes that have led to the complexities environmental contractors and consultants are now facing?
Over the past four decades, society as a whole has become very environmentally conscious, and environmental concerns play a vital role in countless aspects of business as well as everyday life. From recycling to clean energy, the imperative to reduce the environmental footprint resulting from human activities is growing. The construction industry, as well as environmental contractors and consultant specialists, play major roles in this process.
How is that so?
Even as they assist in reducing our environmental footprint, they face potential environmental impacts as part of their jobs. Projects must pass a series of regulatory hurdles before gaining local, state, or federal approval. These hurdles range from air quality issues to concerns for projects bordering streams and waterways, such as soil and runoff concerns where grading is involved. And environmental specialists face even greater challenges with projects that involve so-called brownfield sites, where hidden pollutants may be present, as well as operations at sites known to be contaminated.
Barbara, what are some of the environmental events that have resulted in environmental regulation?
Among the large-scale pollution events that have gained widespread notoriety was the discovery of toxic waste at the Love Canal site in the late 1970s and the spread of contaminants at Times Beach in the early 1980s. Other events include the Santa Barbara oil spill in 1969, the famous Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska in 1989, and this year's oil rig catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico. Love Canal and a separate incident at Times Beach, Missouri, both illustrate the potentially high cost of pollution for communities and businesses. The Love Canal incident required Occidental Chemical Corporation, the company that had acquired Hooker Chemical Company, to agree in 1995 to pay the federal government $129 million to cover the cost of the cleanup. The Love Canal incident in particular resulted in the implementation of the federal Superfund law in 1980. In addition, the use of once common materials in the construction industry, such as asbestos insulation and lead paint, have been banned since the adverse health impacts of those substances were discovered.
Bill, what should environmental contractors know before a construction project begins?
Environmental concerns should be addressed with thorough pre-planning. While a project is in progress, environmental impacts should be mitigated by taking the correct steps to manage and lessen the impacts. Even when a project is finished, environmental concerns are likely to remain.
What impact did the environmental events that Barbara was talking about earlier have on our society and the development of environmental laws and regulations?
The incidents that Barbara just discussed led to a greater awareness in our society. Environmental laws and regulations were subsequently introduced and have continued to evolve, addressing everything from large-scale concerns such as smokestack emissions to residential issues such as household mold. The year 1970 was a landmark for environmental legislation. It marked the first Earth Day, as well as the establishment of the Environmental Protection Agency. In the Clean Air Act of 1970, later revised in 1990, launched the serious nationwide effort to combat air pollution from both mobile and stationary sources. In 1976, Congress passed the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, which gave the EPA the power to regulate toxic waste. 4 years later, the Superfund law was enacted following the Love Canal incident. That law set up a mechanism to pay for the cost of remediation and took a strict polluter pays approach for cleanups. That law also established retroactive liability, so companies may find themselves liable for the cost of cleaning up sites that had not violated then existing laws, or may face legal liability following an acquisition, also known as legacy liability.
Barbara, how has the insurance industry responded to this changing regulatory landscape?
Insurance companies began to use specific pollution exclusions in general liability policies around the time of the 1973 revision of the Insurance Services Office, ISO, Standard Commercial General Liability Policies. This was the first attempt at such an exclusion on an industry-wide basis. Once the specific exclusion of pollution coverage in these long-standing coverage lines became commonplace, the insurance industry began developing specialized, standalone environmental insurance coverages.
Bill, what impact has this had on contractors seeking environmental insurance?
Originally, Demand by contractors for environmental insurance was largely driven by the desire to protect against the risk of lawsuits and legal judgments tied to pollution caused by an accident or as protection against previously unregulated practices. Over time, many commonplace practices have become subject to regulation, and environmental laws have become an additional driver in the purchase of environmental insurance by contractors and consultants. Today, environmental laws apply to even a larger range of activities and affect a far greater number of companies than when they were first implemented.
Can you give us an example of new regulations that would impact environmental contractors and consultants?
Of course. For instance, EPA regulations effective April 2010 concerning lead paint require contractors renovating or repairing homes built before 1978 to obtain certification and take measures to reduce the spread of lead paint dust. The EPA has also been actively addressing the problem of water runoff from industrial and construction sites. In August of 2009, for instance, the EPA fined a ready-mix concrete company $2.75 million for storm water runoff violations at 23 sites in Massachusetts and New Hampshire under the Clean Water Act.
Barbara, what implications does this have for environmental contractors?
Along with outdoor polluters, regulators have tightened regulations concerning interior space, particularly with regard to issues such as asbestos, mold, and lead. As Bill mentioned, the EPA rules governing renovation, repair, and painting in homes with lead-based paint took effect in April 2010. These regulations potentially affect tens of millions of homes nationwide and require contractors who work in homes built before 1978 to be trained in government-approved procedures designed to reduce the spread of lead contamination. Besides painting, the regulations apply to contractors doing any remodeling work, such as the installation of windows that could spread lead paint dust throughout a home and as a result may require the use of specialized air filters and vacuums.
Bill, what expanded risks do environmental contractors and consultants face?
Well, practices that in the past have been considered normal, such as allowing muddy water to drain from a construction site or simply scraping and sanding old paint, can now lead to hefty enforcement penalties. In the face of these new liabilities, contractors need to be aware of the environmental risks they face, whether in their traditional area of expertise or in a new endeavor. These risks run throughout the project lifecycle and apply indoors as well as outdoors. Each site and each project will have its own demands, as well as different impacts on the surrounding environment, which may vary from streams to wetlands to deserts. All these external impacts have to be taken into consideration along with the capabilities of the contractor or consultant.
A question for both Barbara and Bill. What risk mitigation measures and insurance considerations should contractors and consultants consider?
Let me begin by saying that some measures they should consider include contractual issues, subcontractor selection, programs and procedures, environmental regulations, changes in regulations, waste disposal, and adequate insurance protection.
I would like to add that because of the legal and regulatory risks we've been discussing, contractors and environmental consultants should carefully evaluate their exposures and identify any gaps in environmental coverage. While contractors might assume that they would be covered by the commercial general liability policies, such policies may contain absolute or total pollution exclusions or exclusions with very limited exceptions. For environmental risks at a job site owned by another entity, a contractor should look for a contractor's pollution liability policy that provides coverage against loss resulting from a pollution incident that includes legal defense costs. This coverage also provides an upfront sales tool to use in the bidding process and enables a contractor to discern where such coverage is required. In addition, the contractor should make sure the environmental policy he or she chooses provides protection against exposures due to the actions of subcontractors.
I would like to offer a few more points for consideration. Environmental activities where the coverage Bill just described is crucial can include the abatement of asbestos, lead, and mold, restoration work, excavating or treating contaminants, installing or removing storage tanks or pipelines, and building or operating landfills, recycling facilities, water treatment plants, and hazardous waste facilities. For environmental contractors, these policies provide coverage for failing to properly clean up contamination or for making existing contamination worse.
Bill, do you have any comments to add?
Yes, environmental contractors and consultants should work with their insurance broker to purchase contractors' pollution liability coverage that extends to the professional services they provide as a part of or in conjunction with their operations. In addition to the laws and regulations already being considered or in place, there is the certainty that new rules and regulations will be imposed in the future, in the natural course of politics, or as new environmental catastrophes arise. Contractors and consultants may find themselves dealing with new regulations in the middle of a project, or they may find themselves facing new liabilities arising from changes in environmental laws. For this reason, it is a prudent part of any contractor or consultant's risk management process to review their insurance program with their insurance professional on a regular basis in order to understand the actual terms, coverages, and limitations. They can then make an informed decision as to how evolving environmental regulations may impact their coverage, allowing them to maximize the protection offered by their policies. This additional tool will allow contractors and consultants to adjust to new environmental laws and social strictures while maintaining their success in a highly competitive and demanding arena.
Barbara and Bill, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today and share your perspectives on environmental contractors and consultants insurance, risk management, and regulatory implications for environmental liability insurance.
Thanks for inviting me.
It was a great discussion.
We'd like to remind you the views expressed by Ms. Dees and Mr. Hazelton are their own and do not represent those of the ACE Group. Celebrating 25 years of insuring progress, ACE Group is a global leader in insurance and reinsurance, serving a diverse group of clients. Headed by ACE Limited, on the New York Stock Exchange with the symbol ACE, a component of the S&P 500 stock index, the ACE Group conducts its business on a worldwide basis with operating subsidiaries in more than 50 countries. Additional information can be found at acegroup.com. This program copyright ACE Group 2010, all rights reserved. For everyone at the ACE Group, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thanks for listening and take good care.